The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, following the cruise ship hantavirus outbreak, many of us are hearing about this disease for the first time. Rare, serious, still largely unknown to the public. It has raised fresh questions about the symptoms, about how it spreads and the risk that it carries. Well, joining us now to separate fact from fear and fiction is Christine Loscher, who's the head of the School of Biotechnology and Professor of Immunology at Dublin City University. And you're very welcome. Thank
Morning,
you for coming in. So I think as this whole thing has progressed, people have become more and more fearful of this thing. And we are constantly reassured by the World Health Organization that this is not a pandemic. It's not like COVID, but still people are worried. Can you understand that, first of all?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think COVID is still like it's not that distant in our memories. And I think the last time we've heard of a virus that we never heard of before, we saw what happened afterwards. So we've never heard of hantavirus. It's not been discussed. It's not a virus that affects, you know, European countries. It's something that's kind of much more further afield. And I think the idea of it happening on a cruise ship is also kind of laced with memories of COVID. So I think it's completely understandable that people are concerned. They're asking questions. And because it's a virus we haven't heard of before, I think that's really like, you know, driving people's concern.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other reason why people are concerned is that we do know that the mortality rate or the death rate with this virus, you know, can be very high for individuals. You know, it can be up to 40%. So it's in lots of ways, even though it's a virus that doesn't really transmit very well between humans, it means that if somebody is infected, they can get really, really seriously ill.
Okay.
Now, I will caveat that with the fact that the people who have got hantavirus from the cruise that have had medical attention, they're all stable. And actually, it's the people who contracted it quite early when they didn't know it was hantavirus and probably didn't have access to the right kind of medical care on a cruise ship. They're the people who've passed away. So I think it's really important that medical care at the right time mm-hmm. is a really big preventative piece.
But it is just dealing with the symptoms, isn't it? That is the treatment. Like, there's no treatment for the virus itself. It's
yeah.
the symptoms that are being dealt with.
Sure. And I mean, at late stage, when somebody gets very ill with the virus, it's really a respiratory or and a cardiac issue. So it's really oxygen support and ICU care that somebody would get when they become very sick. So mm-hmm. there isn't a specific antiviral, there isn't a vaccine, there isn't a specific treatment, but really good respiratory care is really the focus.
Now, there's a report this morning that suggests that the 19th of May could be crucial because of the incubation period. Do you agree with that, that we'll have a fair idea where we're at by then?
I think it's going to be closer to the end of May. I think that, you know, we have to understand that, you know, when people, the earlier cases on the cruise ship, you know, they were dealt with in a way that maybe they just deal with a normal virus on a cruise ship. They didn't know what they were dealing with. So it's really hard to try and get a handle on what the level of exposure of the rest of the passengers were on the ship and what the last time of exposure is.
Mm-hmm.
The way the HSE are dealing with it under the kind of guidance of the WHO is that they're taking the start of May as the last potential time of exposure, and they're exerting caution and saying it's 42 to 45 days from there in terms of quarantine and in terms of monitoring, ongoing monitoring of the patient. So while the 19th of May takes into consideration, you know, I think they're really basing that on previous outbreaks where the incubation time has been about 28 days. And that might be the case in this situation, but the fact that it can incubate for up to 45 days, and because we've just come out of a pandemic
mm-hmm.
and because we know the mortality rate is really high if somebody gets it, I think there's been a lot of caution exerted here. And I think understandably so, not just for the people involved, but also I think public concern and public perception is really playing into this.
But there's a lot of questions now around transmission, and there's a Harvard University professor, Joseph Allen, quoted in this piece that mentions mm. the 19th of May, and he's concerned that some of those infected had not had close contact with patient zero, that they just crossed paths with yeah. this person. That's yeah. that's scary for people to hear.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, we don't know the situation on the cruise ship in terms of what were they exposed to that potentially could have been touched or had a bodily fluid on it from somebody else? So what did they share in terms of buffets at food time? What happened in terms of them interacting with one passenger who was close contact with somebody else? And then, You know, it really is to do with how things are transmitted. And while close contact is the mode of transmission for hantavirus, particularly the Andes one, which is the only one that can transmit from human to human, it doesn't mean that a healthcare worker or a doctor or somebody who is in close contact with the person, if they haven't used infection control precautions sufficiently, then the person could be exposed to the same bodily fluids or excretions. And I think you can't rule that out, that somebody was touched something, that somebody had bodily fluid. A secretion from the lung is a really big one in terms of hantavirus. You know, so somebody coughing into their hand and then at that stage, they didn't know it was hantavirus. So we don't know what infection control measures were put in the ship at the very, very early stages. So I would say while, you know, all of those things sound very scary, they are all things that are very highly unlikely. They're all very rare. And at this stage, they're all quite anecdotal.
OK, and so people in your profession, your colleagues, you don't believe what you're looking at now is an Andy strain that can be transmitted more easily than first believed, no?
No, and I think one of the things that's happened from the get-go when they realised that this was Andes is that there's been ongoing sequencing of the virus, and there's been no reports that there's any difference or mutations from what we would normally expect to see. So the WHO are working with a number of, like, we do sequence in a number of places around the world, particularly in the States and the UK. And nothing has come out of that data yet that suggests that this is any different than normal outbreaks that they get in South America, where there are small clusters and very rare human-to-human transmission.
So this type of an outbreak would happen all of the time, is what you're saying. We just don't hear about it.
Yeah, this happens in South America. So, I mean, they've probably had 100 cases in the last year. So they're small numbers of cases. And I think the other important thing to point out is that if this was something that was easily transmissible, everybody on the ship would have it. So if there was 147 people on that ship and very few people got the virus, and they probably were exposed at a time where they didn't know that what they were dealing with. So I think that if it was something that was very transmissible, that had changed its mode of transmission, I think it would have run through the ship in the same way that something like COVID would, so particularly close quarters.
Yeah, your expectation then is that if we get to around, I think we're at 10 cases now, are we?
Yeah, 10 cases now,
That's where this might end?
It might, you know, the WHO have said they might expect a couple more cases. They might expect that people who left the ship early that possibly were exposed are incubating and didn't know that they were exposed in, you know, until very early in May. That there's a possibility where they may have transmitted on at some stage of infection. So what they expect is potentially a few more cases, which shouldn't alarm people. And the expectation is that this is the way the cluster arises, and then it's shut down very quickly because the mode of transmission is so rare.
And what do you think the whole thing tells us about what we've learned about things like this, about transmissible viruses? Have we learned anything?
I mean, I suppose what it's done is shed a light on a virus that is extremely lethal to people who might get it and can make people quite sick, even though it's a rare event, but that it's something that we don't have a vaccine and we don't have a treatment for. And I think that as time goes on and people are traveling more, you know, South America are used to dealing with this. Hantavirus in general, not the Andes strain, but the other strains, they make people sick, but the mortality rate is really low. They're not really dangerous viruses. It's only this particular one. And maybe we should be looking at maybe having something, you know, in the background that means that we have something to deal with something like this. I think it's caught us by surprise because it's a rare event and it doesn't normally happen outside of South America where the virus is endemic.
But are you saying we might see more of this in the future then?
I mean, you can't rule out that there is going to be exposure of people to viruses as they start to travel to. I mean, these people were travelling, you know, they were going to remote islands, they were going to, you know, bird sanctuaries, they were going to places that are outside of the norm in terms of travelling. So maybe we need to think that as we travel more, we need to be more conscious of exposure to viruses that maybe just haven't been in general circulation. This is probably the first outbreak of hantavirus outside of those endemic places.
There's no rush to create a vaccine or to look at new treatments, is there?
No, I don't think so. And I think that I think whatever about a rush to a vaccine, I definitely think that there might be a push towards looking at whether or not there's a specific antiviral or some sort of treatment that might help in a subset of viruses that cause this type of respiratory pulmonary kind of dysfunction or failure in people. So it might prompt that. I mean, I thought it was interesting that somebody on News Talk yesterday was talking about the fact that there's been a little spike in the cost of the shares for some of the pharma companies, and they think it's coming off the back of people saying, I wonder, will there be a drive to kind of create new treatments for viruses? And you can't rule that out. Mm-hmm. But I think it does highlight the fact that there are still viruses out there that we have no defence against.
Christine, thank you very much. It's very interesting. Christine Loscher there.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.